Welcome to the Stop Over Drinking and Start Living podcast, where high-achieving, goal-oriented rebel women come to learn how to live a vibrant and fulfilling life without requiring alcohol to get through it. No labels, no judgments, no saying you'll never drink again, just real proven methods to help you stop rebelling against yourself with alcohol so you can drink less and do more. I'm your host, Angela Masenik. Let's dig in. Welcome to episode 275, Navigating Skepticism, What to Do When Loved Ones Dismiss Your Desire to Cut Back. Well, hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the podcast. How are you all? Well, I had an amazing birthday. It was unbelievable. It was like a perfect Angela day. So, you know, I tend to make birthdays a big deal. And I might celebrate all month. I might celebrate all year, depending on what kind of a birthday it is. Last year was 45 and alive, and so I did big things. I did a trip, had people fly in to Asheville, and we did hiking and sunsetting and picnicking and spaing, and it was absolutely amazing. And this year is all about, for me, I really want to spend more time at home with the family. So I decided to just stay local, but I took a couple days off, and I had a sound bath at my favorite place called Healing Resources in Chapel Hill. If you guys are local, you could look that up. But Edie and Darren have a beautiful partnership. Darren does the sound bathing and Edie does body work. And they're both very spiritual and coaches, and it's just a lovely experience. But my new friend Shannon and I went to get a sound bath, and it was really cool. Like, he helps you set your intention or like what you're hoping to use the time getting a sound bath for. And I wanted to harness the lunar eclipse energy, which is all about new beginnings. And we're in an Aries moon, and I'm an Aries. So I'm like, I just really want to harness all of that energy and be open and creative to what's new for me and what's coming. And it was really a magical experience. And then we went out for lunch and we got foot rubs. And then I met up with a friend for coffee later. And then the kids and my husband all gave me the best presents and, you know, all the things that I love the most, which is homemade cards and just really a lot of thoughtfulness. So I got a monocular, which is a binocular, but just one, so I can spy on the birds and wildlife when I'm out there in the woods all the time, which is super cool. And a few other amazing things. And one of my friends got me flower arranging materials, little things that you can put on top of your vases that help you arrange flowers, in a beautiful book and some scissors. Because you all know I'm into putting my own bouquets of flowers together. It's really, really fun. So anyway, it was just a really beautiful couple of days. And then I'm leading my retreat. My North Carolina Sober Nature Retreat starts today, Monday, April 15th. There's people coming in from Alaska, California, Washington State, Minnesota, Arkansas, New York. I mean, they're coming in from all over the place. So I'm so excited. It's absolutely beautiful here in North Carolina. Spring is popping. The weather is going to be gorgeous. And I'm really, really excited about it. So, and then to kick it off, Coach Steph and I, Coach Steph is a coach inside my program that works for me. And Coach Steph, you've heard her on the podcast before. If you're in a live AF, you definitely know her. She started working with me in January of 2020 as a client and has since become a certified coach. And we spend a lot of time together working and retreating and things like that. But she came out a couple days early for the retreat. And we did a 10-mile hiking race up in my favorite park in North Carolina called Hanging Rock. And there was 5 major peaks that you have to climb. And we did it in 5 hours. And it was amazing. It was very challenging, but we loved every second of it. So that's how we sort of kicked off our retreat week. And then we have all of our people coming in today. So super fun times going on. And I've been getting some questions about what to do when the people you care about want you to keep drinking or don't think that you have a drinking problem. So that's what I want to talk about on the podcast today. What to do when your loved ones sort of dismiss your desire to cut back. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever shared that you want to cut back with people close to you and they're like, you don't have a drinking problem. You're not an alcoholic. You can just have one. What's going on? That kind of stuff. It's actually a lot more common than you might think. If you've ever said that to somebody, please stop. If somebody shares that they want to change a habit like drinking, and they're working on cutting back, we should just be absolutely, how can I support you? That's the only acceptable response, okay? Now, we can't control people, unfortunately. I'm just saying, if you've ever said that to somebody, be open to not saying that again, okay? But we can't control what other people say. And unfortunately, people say really weird things sometimes when we share that we want to cut back or make changes. And most of it is coming because they are worried that your cutting back is going to infiltrate and make it mean that they have to cut back. They don't know that because they're not aware and conscious enough to understand what feelings they have when you share that you want to cut back, right? This is just, they're like, what? You know what do you mean? You don't have a problem, because they're like, what does this mean for us? What does this mean for our relationship, right? They don't want it to change. People don't like change. And if you have somebody or people that you drink with on a regular basis, this comes up a lot in marriages, right? So, including myself, I got married in a winery in California with my husband. So our relationship started out that way. We met in college. We got married later, you know, a few years after we graduated college or whatever. And we both had well-established patterns with alcohol. You know, like I was really into wine at the time, and we lived in San Francisco, and we had access to Napa and Sonoma County, California, and we'd go up there all the time and have wine club memberships. Like, you know, it was very much a part of our lifestyle. And so, you know, when I first had my journey with cutting back, and I was on a 90-day break. It was around my 40th birthday, and I had hosted, you know, I had planned to have, I reserved a private room in this bar, in this sort of like wine bar in Carrboro, and I invited all my local friends to come in. And I had decided that I wasn't going to drink, you know, like I was on a long-term break from alcohol at the time, and it was very new. And my husband was like, wait, you're going to invite all these people to a wine bar and you're not going to drink? I'm like, yep. And it was just kind of discombobulating, you know? And it's like they have to kind of see you in action and understand that this is probably not just some temporary thing that you're doing. And to be fair, for me, and this might be similar to what you experience, if it is somebody like a marriage or a long-term partnership or a long-term friend, they might be used to you trying different things, trying different diets, right? And then not following through on that. So that was me in my relationship. I mean, I tried all the diets with my husband and would force him to do it with me, you know, juice fasts and veganism and smoothies and oh, just crazy stuff, right? And I would be very passionate about it. I would read up all about it and I would become obsessed with it. And then I would try something and then it would fade away. And so when you say, I'm going to cut back on my drinking, or I'm taking a break from alcohol, or I notice I'm drinking too much, or I think I have a problem, and they come back with that skepticism, some questions, or they might say, you know, what are you doing? Or I don't notice that about you. Or I never thought that I've never seen you have any problems with your drinking. You know, depending on your history with them and what you've tried in the past as far as dieting or cutting back or health stuff, you know, try to be a little empathetic. That's the first thing. Just understand that they might be confused. They may have some doubt because this could be just another idea, another crazy thing that you're trying from their perspective, right? So the biggest takeaway for that type of situation is just to be patient. Just understand that you've been this way probably for a while. You have been somebody who drank a lot with them, likely. And when you say you're going to do something new, it's new, and the human condition doesn't like change, right? So their immediate response might be skeptical. And I don't want to give them a pass on it. It's definitely not supportive right out the gate, but understanding where they're coming from and your history together, try to give them a little bit of grace on that, okay? And over time, they will see through your actions that this is something long term, and it's just going to take some time for them to adjust. If you do want to get into it with them, if it is somebody that you do have a deeper relationship with and you want to be a little bit more vulnerable with them, you can be open to sharing. So if they say, "You're not an alcoholic. I don't understand. Why can't you just have just one? I don't see any problems with you. You go to work, you take care of yourself, all that." I would say, "Well, you're right. I am functioning and it hasn't caused those problems yet. But when I drink, this is what happens." And share a little bit about your experience, right? So for me, it would sound like, "Yeah, you know, you're right. Like, I do take care of all my stuff. I go to work, I manage all the things. And when I drink, it makes me want to eat a lot. And then I don't like that the next day. I feel puffy and gross. And I have a lot of anxiety. And sometimes it's really hard not to drink. And it takes a lot of my brain space. And I really want to just get away from that for a little bit and see what happens and give myself a break and kind of work on some of the other stuff. I don't like the way I feel. I don't sleep well." You know, go ahead and share some of the deeper reasons why you want to. It's a very personal choice, right? And you could also say, you know, you don't have to hit rock bottom and have things fall apart for you to want to change your relationship with alcohol. Even if it's just one or two glasses a night, right? If it's not working for you, that's good enough reason. And I think that when you explain it that way and be like, "You know, I don't want things to fall apart. I notice right now I don't like it. It doesn't make me feel good. And I'd like to be able to focus on myself a little bit more and take better care of myself and find other ways to get some joy and pleasure and to relax and relying on alcohol to do that. And so I'm really excited about this. And, you know, I hope that you can support me." If you share a little bit more, it helps them understand where you're coming from. Most people are very black and white and when they think about drinking, right? So people that have an issue with alcohol are alcoholics, right? And they immediately, so when you think of the word alcoholic, what do you think of? You know, you're thinking of that person who can't, like, who wakes up probably, this is what I think. It's like a man, he looks pretty bad. He's older. He wakes up in the morning. He's, you know, he's probably lost a lot in his life. Maybe he's not holding a job. He's alone. He's drinking whiskey throughout the day and stumbling and all that, right? Like, we think of like the worst case scenario, right? So when you say, "I don't like how much I'm drinking," or "I think I have a drinking problem," or something like that, and you're sharing about your desire to cut back, and you don't match what they think somebody with a drinking problem looks like, they get a little discombobulated, right? They're like, "I don't understand," right? And so unfortunately, you can use this as an opportunity to educate them on that, what that means. You could send them this podcast. I mean, there is a full-on range, right? We have to think about a spectrum with everything, right? So, you know, some people can use social media and it doesn't bother them. And they're able to like not scroll on their phones for hours a day. And then there's other people who are completely obsessed, get all of their validation from social media and can't not be on there, right? That's the other end of the spectrum. And it's the same thing with alcohol. Depending on who they are, their history, their upbringing, their culture, so much goes into that. And for a lot of my clients, we're in this sort of what they call gray area where they're not functional. They can take a few days off. They do have their shit together. You know, they are taking care of their families and they're going to work and they have relationships. And, you know, on the outside, it looks fine, right? But they're in the middle area where it bothers them that they can't follow through on their commitments. You know, like that is probably the biggest thing that hurts people, is that when they say they're going to not drink and then they battle with that and then they end up drinking, that really fucks around with your psyche, right? And you lose a lot of confidence in yourself and what you can do. And you can get stuck in that middle area for a while. And you can explain that to people. Like, there's a range for everything, right? I probably fall somewhere in the middle. They call it gray area drinking, where Yeah, I am taking care of all my shit, but it's really hard for me not to drink wine during the week. Or I tell myself I'm not going to drink, and then I find myself drinking, even if it's just a couple glasses, and it occupies too much of my time, right? You could explain that to them as well, if you want to. And this is all like very nuanced, right? Depending on who you're talking to, go into it with them if you feel comfortable. If you don't, you could just say, you know what? I just thought I would share that with you and I'd appreciate your support, right? And if you're in a live AF, you should definitely get coaching around this. This is pretty normal, you know, especially when you have relationships in which you used to drink a lot with them. My best advice is just to keep focusing on yourself. Don't try to change them, right? Share more about yourself and what you're doing and why it's important to you instead of trying to convince them of things or why they should come on this journey with you or any of that stuff. And what I have found is eventually, if you stay clear on what your goals are and you keep working on it, they will fall in line and eventually they will adjust. But if they say things like, you know, you're more fun when you're drinking, I would use that as an opportunity to open up a deeper conversation and just like later, maybe at a different time, be like, you know, can you elaborate a little bit more on that? Because that kind of stung a little bit when you said I was, you know, more fun when I was drinking, or you miss us drinking together. Can you get more detailed on that? Like, what exactly is it that you miss? And like, let them share a little bit, right? We may misinterpret things a lot of the time. Use it as an opportunity to have a deeper connection with especially for the people that really matter to you the most. If you've got some outlying friends in a group that are being assholes and are saying stupid shit like that, you know, time to probably separate, right? Or decide what you want to do. If you want to have a conversation with them about it, share how that makes you feel. I have found, though, that most times when people say those shitty things, it's because they feel like the mirror is put on them in their drinking, and they don't want you to touch that with anything, right? They want to protect their own drinking, and that's all about them. And then you might just need to make decisions around, okay, does this feel supportive in my goals right now? Does this feel good to be around this person because of how they talk to me and what they say to me? And if the answer is no, you can choose to spend less time with that person. So remember my sort of guiding principles, okay? I choose to spend time with people and things that love and support me, and less time with people and things who don't. And that applies to alcohol, that applies to relationships, that applies to sugary foods, you know? So you can use that in this situation too. Does this feel loving and supportive? Are these people open to having vulnerable conversations? Do they hear me when I go into it a little bit deeper? Or are they just kind of like throwing darts all the time and not open to this and constantly being unsupportive, right? You got to get clear on that and then make your decisions to going forward. And definitely get coaching on this if you're in a live AF, post in the Facebook group, share. It's always a good place to come when you do have people like this in your life because we all get it. You know, we all understand what this journey is like. And sometimes that's why it's really important to be in community with people so you don't feel so alone with the people in your life. And you have a place, a soft landing spot to come in and share and to dive into some of these nuances. Community can be very, very supportive, or having a private coach or somebody that you can, you know, talk to these nuances, things, and get coaching and support on this. When it matters the most, when you're first starting your journey on this and you have these types of people who aren't feeling very supportive and they're skeptical of you, having somebody on your side who has your interests and your goals in mind, like me, is very, very good. So you can hire me for private coaching right now. You can sign up for my private coaching and retreat packages. We have a couple spots left for Seattle and a handful of spots left for Cancun. I will put the link for that in there. That includes private coaching and the in-person retreat. Or you could just get private coaching with me. You know, it's done virtually and or on the phone, and that's like having me in your back pocket. So get support. Share with a community of people that understand and keep going, friends. All right, we'll talk to y'all next week. Have a beautiful week. Bye for now. I want you to check out angelamasonic.com/aliveaf. You know what it's like to have a desire to cut back on your drinking, right? You start to read books, listen to podcasts, try things, but you might not be able to yet put all the pieces and suggestions together in a way that actually makes sense and works for you. You might struggle with beating yourself up after an overdrink. You might get frustrated with yourself when you take two steps forward and then another two steps back, and get overwhelmed with what's right and wrong about your relationship with alcohol. Your friends tell you that you should be able to have just one drink, and it isn't a big deal. You might be white-knuckling through urges and resisting instead of peacefully processing them. And you might struggle with your identity as someone who has enjoyed having a lot of wine or alcohol in your life. It's around you all the time. It's what you do and who you are. Well, after 5 years of successfully coaching hundreds of women through these struggles, I have created the Alive AF membership, where women like you can learn the basics on what it takes to cut back and reach your goals with alcohol, whether it is to just drink less or totally quit. And when you join, you will get the exact framework I used to change my own relationship with alcohol and still use today that has led me to be alcohol-free for over 5 years. You're going to get access to my resources, videos, and worksheets that have been proven to change and reduce how much you drink. Every day you can ask questions, share your obstacles, and get coaching and direct support on the challenges you will face with love and no judgment. Also, you will get immediate access to workshops like uncovering your alcohol identity and changing it, how to say no to things that don't support your new identity or life or goals, aka boundaries. A workshop called Creating Emotional Agency, and another one, How to Manage Your Mind to Succeed at Your Goals, and more. Every month we have a brand new workshop. These workshops are filled with step-by-step prompts and instruction to help you create the exact relationship with alcohol that is best for you. My mission and vision for Alive AF is to be a hub of support and resources for women to come and learn how to do what is best for them and becoming more alive in the process. When you join, you're going to learn how to take care of yourself better, how to feel good and become more alive and go after the life that you really want. I want this membership to be affordable and an easy solution where you can get all the help you need in one simple place whenever you need it. So, no need to go read another book, find a new podcast, attend a free webinar, or go down the path of piecemealing it all together. Join Alive AF and have it all there in one place for you anytime you need it. So, go to angelamasonic.com/AliveAF and enrollment is open right now. See you inside.